So I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 27. I'm excited this morning, like legitimately excited, because I feel like the last 2 weeks, for one reason or another, actually I know the reason, I've been off, but I've been off because I've had a lot of stuff going on in my life. Y'all ever be that? Y'all ever have stuff going on in your lives? Everything always cupcakes and rainbows? Awesome. Tell me your secret on how you can live a life of cupcakes and rainbows, because I don't know what that's like. My life's been a little chaotic the last couple weeks, and I had trouble, like, really connecting with God to the point I asked Shelby to preach today. I said, Shelby, you got to preach. I'm just not in it. And she said no, because she hears God, and she knows when God wants me to say something. So still, even this morning, I'm like, Shelby, I don't know what I'm going to say. Going to my office this morning, God gives me a download. It's not in our series today. I'm taking a break from our series to speak something that I believe the Holy Spirit told me that you all need to hear. Not two or three of you need to hear. You all need to hear this morning. So that's why I'm excited, because I know I have something fresh from God. I ain't got any choice but to shoot from the hip and depend on him, because I didn't have time to put it together. But I know it's for you this morning. Acts chapter 27, we're taking a break from this. God's given me this on-time word. When you're there, stand for the reading of God's word. Acts 27, when you're there, say, uh-huh, and stand for the reading of God's word. This word's alive and active. How should we receive it? And it says this: about midnight on the 14th night of the storm, as we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. They dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little later, they measured again and found it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore, so they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, just want to point one thing out about this. You know, I say a lot of times that favor ain't fair. Paul is about to talk to the commanders of the ship. Do you know what Paul's title is on this ship? Do you know what his title is? Do you know what his position is among the ranks of the people sailing the ship? Prisoner. He was a prisoner on the ship. But favor ain't fair, right? All right, so this is the prisoner talking. You will die unless the sailors stay abroad or stay aboard. So the soldiers cut the ropes of the lifeboats and let it drift away. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would speak through me this morning and that we would have open hearts to receive what you have to say. God, I pray that we'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, all these people said. You may be seated. Now, I'm serious. I want you guys to stay in tune this morning, okay? Keep it dialed in, because God has a word that you need to hear. I need to hear it too, but you all need to hear this word this morning. The title of the message, put this together really quick so everything's long, okay? I don't have cool little one-line words that all have the same, start with the same letter, none of that stuff. These screens are very long. Title of the message is Don't Drown in Shallow Water. It seems like a ridiculous notion that you could drown in shallow water, especially if you have already survived the deep. Let me say it this way. It seems ridiculous that you could drown in something that's more shallow than what you've already overcome. Isn't it amazing how God can bring us through the most impossible storms we could ever go through, and then we get one that's very possible to get through? And it seems impossible, and the devil will magnify that storm and make it look so big and so impossible when it is minute compared to what God has already brought us through. It's crazy. I'll give you a great example. Like, you ever read the story of Elisha and the prophets of Baal and how they were cutting themselves and bleeding to their gods that were fake and couldn't do anything? And Elijah sitting there watched them cut themselves and bleed. And he calls fire down from heaven, and all the prophets of Baal except one was consumed. And the one was a woman named Jezebel, who put out an order saying in a decree saying she would find Elijah and kill him. This dude had just seen fire come from heaven and consumed all his enemies but one. And the one said she was going to kill him, and it led him to flee and hide in a cave for 3 days scared to death. Why in the world would God allow him to drown in shallow water when he already survived the deep? Why in the world would something so small overcome Elijah when he had already overcome so much? Spoiler alert, it didn't, by the way. He overcame that too. Not only did Jezebel not kill Elijah, nobody did. Even disease didn't kill Elijah. He never died. Chariots of fire came from heaven and took him to heaven to be with God. It's often fascinated me, by the way, thinking about this shipwreck. I don't spend a lot of time in ships, not near as much time as I would like to spend on ships. If you know me and Shelby, you know we love to go on cruises. We just got back from a cruise in Europe. We're going on another cruise in January in the Caribbean. We love to cruise. But we spend a whole lot more time in cars. And you all probably know the statistics. I'm sure Michael and Casey, they report the news. Actual news. I listen to the radio station. Sometimes they actually, when they talk about news things, it's news. They'll talk about like the weather and like traffic reports and stuff. It's not just like Joe Biden bad, Orange Man bad. You know, it's like actual news. It's crazy. Beyond Orange Man bad, Joe Biden bad. Crazy, amazing. But it's amazing, they know this, that if you look statistically in America, the majority of car accidents happen within 2 miles of people's homes. The overwhelming majority happens, I would think it'd be like far away from home when you're traveling on roads you don't know very well. But often, the most chaos will happen when it hits us close to home. It's often when we're closest to the shore that things become more difficult. And I want to give you some life lessons this morning, and I want you to write them down. If you don't have a pen and paper, put it in the notes section on your phone. If you don't have a cool phone that does that, take pictures on the screen. But I want you to remember this. I want to give you some life lessons today that's going to help you not drown in shallow water. Life lesson number one, the presence of the storm does not indicate the absence of God. Sometimes when you enter a storm, and it can be any kind of storm, I'm not just talking about the tornadoes that seem to riddle this land that we live in. I'm talking about health storms, financial storms, emotional storms, all kinds of storms. I'm talking about the storms other people can't see in your life, the undetectable storms, the storms that make others hint around that you haven't even been through anything because you've put a smile on your face through the storm. I'm talking about the kind of storms that makes us get up in the morning, put clothes on, put your hair up, put your makeup on, and people don't know you're going through the storm because just like you put your makeup on, you put a smile on too. You're going through a secret storm. When you're going through a physical storm, people will offer you a rain jacket, an umbrella, or something to help. Or some help because they are aware of your suffering, but it's when you are in a secret storm, there is no comfort because people don't know how to help. I'm talking to some people this morning. You know, people jealous of the car that you're driving, not realizing you're 3 months behind on your payments. They envy the job you have. They envy the career path that you chose and worked hard to get and don't realize that same career causes you to lose sleep at night. I'm talking about secret storms. When we get in a storm, we have a tendency to wonder where God is. We buy into this lie that the world is buying into at just in drones where they say, they buy into this lie that if God was really with us, there would be no cancer. If God was really with me, my bills would be paid. If God was really with me, I would be happy. If God was really with me, my marriage wouldn't have struggles. That is an absolute lie. You're going to have struggles this side of heaven. And some of them you didn't deserve. But a lot of them, we're just reaping what we've sowed. A long time ago, and I'm not being mean in this, I was really trying to teach somebody a life lesson. But early on in our church, our church had helped the same person pay a bill 3 or 4 times in about a 6 month span, and then they needed help again. And Shelby and I helped them personally, and then they needed help again. And Shelby and I helped them personally again, and then they needed help again. And this is like the 6th time, about 10 months. and they came to us. They're like, I know God is trying to tell me something. And I looked at them, and Shelby couldn't believe what I said. I said, I think he's trying to tell you to pay your light bill. And they looked at me like, what did he say? I said, you said God's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you to pay your light bill. And if you don't have enough money, maybe the one that's not working should get a job. And they're like, I can't believe he's saying that to me. Can I tell you something? A lot of the storms in our life are us reaping what we have sowed. And it's a hard truth to hear, but it's the truth. But some of them we don't choose. Some of them our actions didn't cause. Some of them legitimately victimize us. Thank you, sir. But even in those storms that victimize us, it's proof that we live in a fallen world. It's not proof of the absence of God. As a matter of fact, I would beg to differ and say that you going through a storm is proof that God is there. Because God didn't command you to walk by sight. He commanded you to walk by faith. God will make you comfortable in your storm, but just because you're not always comfortable doesn't indicate his absence. In fact, God lives in trouble. I might have put this on my iPad. I don't even know. I'm just going to quote it anyway. He lives in your trouble. Your trouble is an indication that God is living in your trouble. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says, I'm a present help in times of trouble. Well, how could trouble indicate the absence of God when the Bible says that he's a present help in times of trouble? He lives in our trouble. He lives in our trouble. He promised to be with us in our trouble. I know we think that things are best and God is closest to us when we are dancing and singing praises to him. And that is true. He is close. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. But he is ever present in our times of trouble. Which brings me to point number two. If God promised you something and you're not in some kind of trouble, get ready for it. If God made a promise to you and you're not in some type of trouble, get ready for it. As a matter of fact, I can simplify trouble for you in trials and tribulations. Everybody in this room is in one of three seasons. You're either going into some trouble, you are in some trouble, or you're coming out of some trouble. And if you're coming out of some trouble, I got not that good news for you. You're probably going to end up going into some more trouble. That's the fallen world we live in. But I want to say this again. If God promises you something and you're not in some trouble, get ready for it. I don't promise things that are obvious. This is important. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I don't promise things that are obvious, and I don't believe God does either. Because oftentimes people will be like, I don't feel God in my mess. I don't feel God in your mess. Why do you think he had to tell you in the Bible he was there? Because it's not obvious he's there when you're in trouble. I never made a promise to my wife when we were dating, Shelby. When we was on the altar one day getting married and I made my vows to her, I never said, Shelby, I promise you that I will be bald for the rest of our life. And I will remain a mostly white male, 3% Nigerian according to Ancestry.com. I will remain mostly a white male all the days of our lives. And I will have brown eyes unless I get contacts forever. I would never make those promises. Those promises are ridiculous. Would you agree with that? She knows these things. I ain't growing no hair. I'm not ever getting any more than the 3% pigment I already got in my skin. Thank God it gave me rhythm and music ability. You know what I'm saying? I ain't ever gonna, I would never make her those promises because they're obvious. Well, God's not gonna make promises that he's with us on our mountaintops either because it's obvious he's with us on our mountaintops. Do you think it was obvious for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they went in the furnace that he was there? No! Which is why he had to make them a promise. Basically saying, even when you don't sense me, even when you don't feel me, even when you can't see my work in your life, when you are in trouble and you seek me, I am ever present in your trouble with you. That's why we come out of it. That's why we come out of it. If you're new with us today and you heard people shouting during worship and acting a fool, and you're like, what is wrong with this church? They need to sit in reverence. You don't know the hell God has pulled them out of. And when he's pulled you out of a lot of hell, you give him a lot of praise. You can't help it. You do crazy things like jump up and down and clap your hands and give him shouts because you know what he's pulled you out of. But sometimes we need to remind the devil what he's pulled us out of when he puts a little anthill in front of us and it looks like Mount Everest and we think all of a sudden we're never going to get over it. He's already brought us through the deep. How can we drown in the shallows? The Bible says this. It says, when you pass through water, I will be with you. He wouldn't have said that if he was obviously going to be there. I want to give you another life lesson. I didn't put this one down. This one's fresh. Don't be so aware of the storm that you lose awareness of God's presence there. Don't get so caught up in your trouble that you lose sight of the only one that can bring you through it. Noah was in a storm. I know I've shared this a lot in the church. And if you're here with us 20 years from now, I hope I'm still sharing it. Noah was in a storm, bad storm. The entire world was destroyed by it. And God gave him the blueprint of a boat that would save humanity and animal creation and all of that. But I believe the blueprint of this boat could be the blueprint of the new world God was going to let Noah establish. And on the blueprint, the detailed blueprint of the ark that Noah built, the big ship Noah built, and nowhere on there, he told him how tall to make the doors, what kind of tar to seal the wood with, what kind of wood to use, how many cubits long everything was going to be. And at no point did he tell Noah to put a rudder or a steering wheel in that boat. Because God wanted to steer the ship. And when we put our own steering wheel in this vessel that he gave us to walk around in for 100 years or so, when we put our own steering wheel in it, we start avoiding the storms. And when we avoid the storms that God allowed us to pass through, we do not get the tools, the coaching, the skill set we need to walk on the mountaintop that he has on the other side of the storm, that the storm was meant to be a training ground so we would be able to walk without falling down. So then all of a sudden we have all this blessing that we've wanted our entire life. We bypassed every storm training us to get there. And the very blessing that we wanted becomes a curse because we avoided the training ground. We avoided the storms. We avoided the times with God that he promised to be ever present with us. How in the world can we be discipled by the very God that disciples when we avoid the things that he promised were the times he'd be ever present with us? My man Gabe is in here somewhere. Gabe went to seminary, and that's awesome, and I love it. I'm proud of that guy. I'm all for continuing your education and all for, like, learning as much about the Bible as you can. But what prepares pastors to be pastors is spending time at the feet of Jesus, and we spend time at the feet of Jesus in the bad times more than we do in the good times. So if God promises you something and you're not in trouble, get ready for it. Number three, last point. Are you steering your life based on what you see? Or are you steering your life based on what you believe? Are you steering your ship based on sight? Or are you steering your ship based on faith? When you hear thunder in your life and smell rain in the air, let's settle the end from the beginning and say, I'm coming out of this. When you hear rain coming, when you smell the rain in the air, the storm in your life that's about to happen, when you are about to do the thing you don't want to do, you know you don't want to do it. You don't feel it. You know it's going to be hard. You know it's going to be painful. You know it's going to cause tears. You know you're going to come out of it without things you went into it with that you don't want to let go of. Settle the end from the beginning and say, I am coming out of this. I don't have the details, but I'm coming out of this. I don't know where the money is going to come from, but I am coming out of this. I don't know if it's going to be by divine healing or by medicine, but I know I'm coming out of this. I don't know if it's going to be by divine healing or therapy, but I'm coming out of this. Maybe I need to see a psychologist. I don't know. But I know by the grace of God, I am coming out of this. And the very sense of the storm, the sight of the storm, is evidence that God is going to pull me through it. Not evidence that it's going to kill me. And I wish I had people with me today that would make a faithful declaration and shout it loud enough that the devil hears you and trembles, and just say and believe it in your heart and in your soul and in your mind that I am coming out of this. Can I be real? God already told on y'all. God's already told on y'all. He told me in my office this morning. They all need to hear this. So are you in a storm this morning? Thank you, three people. God told on the rest of y'all. Are you in a storm this morning? Then declare with me and say, I am coming out of this. Now, say it louder, church. Come on. I am coming out of this. I am coming out of this. Do you believe it? Stand with me.